This episode is, without a doubt, our most messed up origin in a long time. The Sandman may be seen as a positive, benevolent figure nowadays, featured in movies and storybooks as a lovable little lad who blesses adorable children with dreams about puppies and rainbows, but he used to be straight up terrifying. Instead of a fun, surprise visitor who gently escorted boys and girls to dreamland, he was a murderous maniac who parents used as a threat when their children refused to settle down for bed. The Sandman was always watching, waiting for his opportunity to turn your last moments on Earth into a nightmare. My name is John Solo, and I unpack the messed up origins of your favorite stories from childhood. And you are not going to believe how messed up this one's origins get. But first, I want to start on a positive note and thank our sponsor, Sundays for Dogs. Many of you know I have two adorable dogs, and like all doggos, they love a good meal with lots of flavor. And their passion for fine cuisine has always left me feeling guilty about the food I serve them. Don't get me wrong, it's all healthy, but it's also ultra-processed kibble that looks and smells like old wet cardboard. And after months of being on the same diet, my little girl Penny straight up refused to eat it. As you can imagine, this had me pretty stressed because I obviously couldn't let her starve. So I went online looking for answers, and that's when I found Sundays. Sundays is a first of its kind product that was designed to give dogs as much nutrition as possible in the most simple way possible. Sundays is 100% human grade from start to finish. And unlike most brands that are filled with hyper-processed grains and synthetic vitamins, Sundays only uses ingredients from real food. Also, unlike kibble, which is cooked at blazing hot temperatures, killing most of the nutrition and flavor, Sundays is air-dried, so not only does your furry companion get to look forward to delicious meals, but they're also healthier and don't require any prep. I'm happy to say that from the first scoop of Sundays, both Gunther and Penny fell in love with it, and I can't emphasize enough that mealtime is less stressful than ever. So if you want to treat your furry companion to some truly fine dining with a sweet discount, go to sundaysfordogs.com/johnsolo to set up your custom meal plan and use code johnsolo at checkout to get 50% off your first order. Fair warning though, after you see the excitement in your dog's eyes at mealtime, you're not going to want to give them anything else. Again, that's sundaysfordogs.com/johnsolo and code johnsolo for 50% off your first order. So what's kind of nice about the Sandman is that he's a simple figure to break down because he's not attached to one iconic definitive story that everyone knows. He's like the Santa Claus of sleep, helping people all over the world, but mostly children, get their much needed rest and go on blissful adventures while doing so. The way he does this is with his enchanted sleeping sand, which he sprinkles in the eyes of his beneficiaries. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you'll sometimes have those little crusties around your eyes. That's residue from his magic dust. Actually though, it's a little substance called the rheum, which is just discharge that comes out of your eyes and dries up when you sleep. Delicious. In the modern day, parents might tell their children at bedtime that if they go to bed, the Sandman will visit them and bless them with a restful sleep and good dreams so they're ready to play tomorrow. And funnily enough, his folklore hasn't changed much over the centuries. But John, earlier you said the Sandman was a bloodthirsty maniac. That doesn't sound like a bloodthirsty maniac to me. Oh, I was not exaggerating about that. But what makes the Sandman's folklore so unique compared to other figures we've talked about is that over the past few centuries, it's gone full circle. Let me explain. Like most folklore figures, it is impossible to pinpoint the exact location and moment of his creation beyond somewhere in Europe at some point. But the oldest known written reference to him has been tracked down to an 18th century German dictionary, which included the idiom Der Sandman kommt, which means the Sandman is coming. This idiom was used to describe someone who appeared tired, potentially because their eyes were looking droopy and puffy, as if sand had been thrown in them, or because the tired individual moved around all slow like they were wading through sand. I'm sure you guys can relate. That walk to the bathroom at 3 in the morning feels like I'm trudging through the deserts of Tatooine. Then I make the toilet look like the Naboo swamps. Oh! As you can see at this point, the Sandman was a positive figure, or at the very least a chaotic neutral. In theory, a guy delivering dreams could just as easily bring trauma-inducing nightmares, but all we know about the character at this point in time is that he made people sleepy. That being said, a German story written in 1817 would change the Sandman forever. I mean, for a little bit. E.T.A. Hoffman's short story, Der Sandman, which is German for something like The Sandman, painted a truly disturbing picture of this nighttime visitor. The story opens with an exhausted nurse ushering some children to bed, warning them that the Sandman is coming. And when one of the children, a boy named Nathaniel, asks her who the Sandman is, she gives him the most terrifying answer you could imagine. He is a wicked man who comes to children when they will not go to bed and throws a handful of sand into their eyes so they start bleeding out of their heads. These eyes he puts in a bag and carries them to the half moon to feed his own children, who sit in the nest up yonder and have crooked beaks like owls with which they may pick up the eyes of the naughty human children. So yeah, not quite as wholesome as the Sandman that you and I grew up with. Now, to be fair, it's hard to say whether Hoffman's Sandman became the main version that parents in Germany and across Europe told their kids about, or if they stuck with a simpler, less traumatizing Sandman puts you to sleep angle, because that all would have been shared orally. However, there is no doubt this portrayal of the Sandman made a lasting impression on creatives and psychologists alike. The Der Sandman story, which I'm not going to cover in full here, but you can find a complete PDF of in the description below, would go on to be the subject of a Sigmund Freud essay called The Uncanny. Here, he discusses the phenomena that haunt the mental health of Hoffman's main character, like not believing that people are who they claim to be, and, because it's Freud, how it all connects to castration anxiety. Hoffman's story also resonated with director Paul Barry, who made what might be the creepiest stop-motion short film I've ever seen that depicts the Sandman exactly as Hoffman describes him. It follows an adorable little lad, who looks like he should be starring in a Puffs commercial and not this nightmare fuel, as he tries falling asleep but can't shake the feeling that he's in danger. Soon enough, the mysterious, menacing, bird-like Sandman enters his home, slowly makes his way up the tall, dark, and creaky staircase, and creeps into the little boy's room. Unable to wake him up by force, this birdman starts dancing around his bed, trying to create enough noise to get him to open his eyes on his own. And when he does, the Sandman throws his trademark sand into his eyes and proceeds to rip them out of their sockets. In the next shot, we see the Sandman feeding his little children with these fresh, juicy eyeballs in the face of the little boy, permanently frozen with fear. As someone who was weirded out by Nightmare Before Christmas when I was a kid, I'm pretty sure that watching this would have ended me. But how did the Sandman go from this to the Mr. Sandman who brings you dreams that are the cutest you've ever seen, with lips like roses and clovers so that your lonely nights could all be over? Come on, you know I had to reference it at least once. While there's no direct path that we can trace because folklore, but it seems like the majority of modern-day Sandman iterations were inspired by someone that we haven't talked about in far too long, none other than Hans Christian Andersen. His story, called Ole Lukøje, which is Danish for Olaf Close Eye, is a lot more wholesome. But in true Andersen fashion, it still has that gentle touch of morbidity and depression that we've come to know and love from his other tales like The Ugly Duckling and The Little Mermaid. In this story, we're introduced to Ole Lukøje, who visits children at night to help them fall asleep and give them sweet dreams. He does this while wearing a color-changing coat and by blowing a very fine dust into their eyes, just enough to stop them from keeping them open. Then, when they're asleep, he takes a seat next to them on the bed and whips out his umbrella. Ole Lukøje had two umbrellas. One had pictures on the inside, and he would open it over the child's head to give them lovely stories to dream about, but the other umbrella was jet black, with no pictures at all. He held this one over naughty children so they would sleep heavy and wake up without dreaming anything. Pretty kind of Ole Lukøje to spare the brats from nightmares and just hold back their dreams. I'm sure if this was a German story, he'd be more like Freddy Krueger. But wait. Krueger is a German name, so maybe Freddy's a descendant of Hoffman's Sandman. Hoffman does mention him feeding his victims to his babies after all. Anyway, I'm not going to bother going into detail over all seven dreams that Ole Lukøje tells the main character because, Let's just say they came through the gates of ivory. Anderson does conjure up some beautiful magical scenes for his readers, with old Lukoi transporting the main character into new worlds with talking furniture, household jungles, and paintings you can climb through, but like most dreams, they don't really amount to anything significant. The really interesting bits come at the end, when old Lukoi mentions how adults beg him to visit them because their evil deeds keep them awake at night, then he reveals that he has a brother who only visits people once. Death itself. This isn't meant to be spooky though, quite the opposite actually. Lukoi teaches the main character that death is nothing to fear, but after that lesson concludes, so does the story. The popularity of this story, featuring a friendlier, more wholesome version of the Sandman, is likely what secured his foothold as the definitive Sandman to most humans, evidenced by the surplus of children's books about the character. Just search Sandman children's book on Amazon and you'll see what I'm talking about. Remember to include children's book though, because if you don't, you're going to get an entirely different result that brings us back to the character's morbid roots, the Sandman comics by Neil Gaiman. This series launched in 1989, and Gaiman does an amazing job using folklore and myth to tell this story about Dream, who's a step above a god. Known as one of the Endless, he not only personifies dreams, he has total control over them, choosing to distribute dreams and nightmares as he sees fit using his magic pouch of sand. This character has a few names, but primarily goes by Dream and Morpheus, after the Greco-Roman god of dreams, who, interestingly enough, doesn't actually have any direct connections to the Sandman from folklore. Both figures had similar jobs, with Morpheus's being a little more specialized in that he delivered prophetic dreams from gods to kings, while other dream spirits called Oneroi delivered dreams to us common folk, but beyond that, there's really no overlap. The Sandman has a little more in common with Morpheus's father Hypnos, the god of sleep, but even then, their tools of the trade are different. The Sandman uses sand to induce sleep, you may have noticed that, while Hypnos travels around with something a little more powerful, a horn of opium. Now, to be fair, I couldn't find any ancient writings that describe Hypnos using this horn on anyone, so it's very possible he doesn't need the opium and just puts peeps to sleep with some kind of god magic. Then again, why carry that thing around if you're not gonna use it, right? But while we're on the subject of why, that's the only question we have remaining. Why the Sandman? As in, why does the Sandman exist? Well, like most folklore, he exists to provide answers. In that way, he is related to Hypnos and Morpheus and the sleep and dream deities of all other religions, because thanks to them and the Sandman, you have something to say when your kid asks, "Why do I have to sleep? What'll happen to me if I don't sleep? Where do dreams come from?" You know, the usual annoying kid questions that always come at the very end of an exhausting day when you just want to curl up in the fetal position and cry about the current state of your life. Depending on your parenting style and mood, you have the option of blowing their minds with stories about Greek gods, comforting them with Anderson's version of the character, or traumatizing them with Hoffman's. Either way, you'll make their view of the world just a little more magical and interesting, which I think is one of the most important responsibilities parents have. But on a real note, maybe don't tell your 5-year-old that a magic old man is gonna rip out their eyes if they can't sleep. I'm not a parent yet, so my advice might not be worth much, but the kid who's told that in the story ends up losing his mind and jumping off something tall. So I feel confident saying that's gonna create some problems for you a little ways down the road. But let me ask you, mere mortals, did you know about the Sandman when you were a kid? And if so, where did you learn about him? What did you learn about him? I'm excited to hear if anyone's family had their own personal Sandman lore, or maybe one of you was told about the scary version and have been haunted by it ever since. Let me know by hitting up me or Messed Up Origins on social media. Links to those are in the description. Those pages are also where you'll find my short form content where I highlight the most messed up details from our show. I'll see you all again next Friday. Until then, my name is John Solo, and remember, John shot first.